Well, about 10 days or so ago on our daily Bible reading, there was a passage that I read from the book of Proverbs that just yelled at me saying, "Preach me, preach me." And so this morning, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach from the book of Proverbs. If you would like to open up your Bibles with me to the 26th chapter, and let's consider the first 12 verses together for a few moments together. And I have entitled this lesson, "For a Fool." And the Hebrew word for fool is there, kelsiel, and Strong's defines that word as stupid. I know we're not supposed to use that word, but that's exactly how Strong's defines the word, stupid or silly. Wilson's Old Testament dictionary says, to be fat to inertness and folly. I think the idea is being real sluggish and being inactive when it comes to inertness and folly. And you have there an interesting little description there from a fellow by the name, I hope I pronounce his name right, he's a French theologian of the 1600s, Gessetius, and he used a definition I thought was really, really good. Seems to really grab this word, obstinate. You've heard people that are obstinate. Obstinate in that on which he has set his heart, not to be moved by reason or counsel. I think that's exactly the description of a fool. I think of someone that would take the premise of a flat earther. You know, give them the reason, the logic, all of the photographic evidence that we have today. How can he come up with that? Or a sun worshiper. How could they do that? Again, science and technology shows us that the sun doesn't have any cognitive powers whatsoever. Or someone that would try to encourage you to think that 2 plus 2 equals 5. That's foolish. And you can't reason with somebody that's like that. They're obstinate in their foolishness. This word kelsiel is found 66 times in the Old Testament scriptures. 37 of them are in the book of Proverbs. And 8 of them are in these 12 verses that we're going to think about for a few moments this morning. And since I've got a lot of ground to cover, let's move on and consider the very first passage here in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "As snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool." And that's where I got the title of the lesson, "Honor is not fitting for a fool." Well, I just like the way that it starts off. It's extremely easy and obvious for us to understand this. This is the way common sense works. We know it does not snow in the summer, especially down here. And we know how terrible it is and how hated it is for rain to come in the harvest. And those two things, it's either it just doesn't happen or we hate it when it happens. And so using both of those very logical expressions, it talks about that's what happens when we give honor to a fool. Now, that's something that people will do. They will elevate or give honor to a fool and how foolish it is. In 1 Samuel, there's an expression there. Remember Israel, how foolish they were in wanting to have a king. And you've read that passage, you've read that many times in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And it's an interesting expression in verse 17. Look up with me in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 17. It almost is like a living example of what the proverb writer is saying. "Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourself." Oh, you want a king for yourself? It's harvest time? Let's be praying to God for some thunder and rain. How foolish that is. Every farmer wants it just as dry as can be for harvest. They don't want the winds, right? Like you got wheat, it could blow off. You don't want any of those type of things that could hurt a crop that's ready to come out of the field. And so there's the writer saying how foolish it would be to pray to the Lord and ask for thunder and rain. It's for a fool. It's so silly and so it's so foolish. And I think every one of us here, we probably know somebody that if we were going to say, "I have to label somebody a fool," you could pick somebody out. Maybe somebody in your family. You got that relative, you know, that you would consider that. Maybe someone that's in your neighborhood, someone that you work with. or end up going to school with, someone that you know, maybe at a bowling alley or something, that you think, oh, that's a fool. Do not honor that person. Don't elevate that person. To do that, it's like snow in the summer and rain in the harvest. Now, verse 2 is the only verse that doesn't have something about that, so verse 2 is skipped. Don't ask me why verse 2 is skipped, but it is. Verse 3, a whip for a horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Well, what do you need? And I've watched a lot of Westerns, and you probably have too, and they go out there and get these wild horses, and what's the first thing got to do? Got to get some cowboy on the back of that horse, right? You got to break that horse down, and that's the idea. You got to have a controlling mechanism to try to drive the wildness out. The same is true for the donkey, that you got to have a bridle for the donkey because it's so obstinate. It's so stubborn, right? You have to have some way of controlling it. And what does a fool need? A fool needs containment. It needs correction. Sometimes it needs incarceration, because when you think about the fool, sometimes they're like the violent, untamed animals that are around you. And there's a lot of people like that. I think especially in our society, when you have so many people that are so narcissistic, that are so self-absorbed, we're in a political season. How many people have we seen that are like pulling their hair out? And I guess that's probably going to be happening Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, when people that are on the losing side just are out of control because they're foolish deep down within their heart and destructive to society. And oftentimes we're living in a society where it's becoming more and more common. If somebody's not getting their way, they're tearing up streets and cities with violent mob protests. Yep, a whip for a horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Let's look at number 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Don't placate the fool. Don't answer or cover for a fool. This is what has made Dr. Laura Schlesinger a lot of money. A lot of people call her, and she discovers pretty quickly within many of the calls is that you've got somebody that's answering a fool according to their folly. They're answering, they're placating, they're covering, they're even elevating. So don't cover for a foolish child. Don't cover for a foolish spouse, or a foolish relative, or a co-worker, or someone in your neighborhood. Be wise when dealing with fools. Don't get down in the mud wrestling with them. That's just as foolish as can be. And sometimes when you attempt to reason with these, and you, what we call bend over backwards, so to speak, just going the extra mile, trying to give them every benefit of the doubt, what you end up doing is that you answer them according to their folly, and you become like them. That's what the proverb writer is trying to tell us. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. And then the next verse, you have verse 5 that says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And I know the first thing when you see that is, isn't that a contradiction? Didn't he just tell me in the previous verse not to answer a fool? And now he's telling me to answer a fool according to his folly. So what gives here? But it's really not. Because the fool does need to be answered. His folly needs to be exposed. And I kind of spent a lot of time last Sunday morning talking about that in the area of false teachers and false prophets. That yes, that they'll say foolish things. And if that person's not contradicted, if that person is not answered, if that person is just left to go on unanswered or uncontradicted, you know what might end up happening. People around those fools may be persuaded to partake of their foolishness. So there needs to be some answer. When we were talking about elders last week in Titus chapter 1, remember he talks about these men that are not novices, have all these wonderful spiritual qualifications, and why should they have them? Because of verse 9, he hold fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. Because there's many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, says, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Well, Cretans are not always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That's the things the fools are saying about them. Their mouths must be shut up. In other words, they must be answered. Not answer according to their folly. They must be exposed and contradicted, lest that fool be wise in his own eyes. You know, sometimes when someone comes at you and says, 2 + 2 = 5, you say, oh, no, it doesn't either. No, I'm not putting up with that. You're not teaching that stuff to my kids. When they're coming around and telling you that I don't know what a woman is, we need to stand up and say, yeah, I do know what a woman is. If you don't, you surely don't deserve to be on the Supreme Court. That's for sure. If you're that foolish, where you're listening to fools that are trying to tell us we can't discern between a woman and a man is, I'm not going to give any credence to it, and I'm going to answer you according to truth. They need to be exposed for what they are. Let's go to the next one. We're learning a lot about the fools here in verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Woo-wee. That doesn't sound very pleasant. My wife would take great exception to that. Indeed. The idea of sending a message by the hand of a fool. Well, what's going on there? It's the idea that you trust a fool to do something that's really, really important. It's like you got an electric bill or you got a big bill that you need to pay and you put it in the hands of someone that is untrustworthy. And they just completely ignore what you really need that person to do. A king cannot have a fool in a position of authority or honor to accomplish or delegate various things that must be done for his citizens. Trusting a fool is foolish. And I tell you what, this is one that I've had to learn really the hard way. One of the greatest mistakes that I've done in my preaching career is to trust members of the church that are fools. I've just trusted them because they were members of the church, but they were very foolish in things, and I've been burned severely by such individuals, by trusting that they're going to do good and do right with either the message, the messenger, or the incident that's taking place. You got those warning bells that are going off in your head. We call them today red flags about somebody. We ought to listen to the warning bells, and we ought to be listening to the red flags. If you're not completely convinced, don't give that fool an important duty or job that needs to be done, or you'll end up being burned. You'll end up being burned by those who lie or ignore you or put you off or neglect things that are important unto you. And so this is the advice that I have. Hopefully I've learned this lesson in my life, to never trust a fool with your possessions. Never trust a fool with your kids. Never trust a fool with your life. Just don't do that. How foolish it is. Now, the next three passages, I think, relate back to verse 6. Because they all start off with the idea of a like. He says there in verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like the legs of the lame. Now, we're not making fun of anybody here. It's just the reality and the observation of what Solomon understands. You never, ever honor or trust the fool because they detest a proverb. What's a proverb? We know what a proverb is. We've been reading. We're in chapter 26. Proverb, a wise, pithy saying. A word of wisdom said in a very brief exhortation. And so that's kind of what a proverb is in the mouth of a fool. They detest and abhor wisdom. They detest the wise sayings of truth. To them, it's just dust in the wind. To them, it's useless. It's babblings. It's those things that's not going to be helpful to them in any situation, like the legs of a lame man. It's kind of the idea. You do feel sorry for those that are lame. Those that have to be in wheelchairs, their legs won't allow them to stand or walk. And we do feel sorry for those individuals. But God is trying to tell us that when you trust a fool, it's like trying to think that the legs of a lame man are going to allow him to stand or walk. And we just know that's not going to happen. you just cannot reason with the ones that just spew out foolishness, and to them wisdom is just foolishness to these individuals. I've been trying to do that for a long time. I remember when I first started preaching, I used to talk a tremendous amount about abortion. And we're still doing the same thing. For 40 years, I've been trying to convince so many people when women are saying, it's my body, it's my choice, it is not her body at all. I don't care what she says. Every ounce of scientific evidence and technology proves that it's not her body. But try to convince women that want abortions that it's not their body is like me going to that wall and banging my head up against it. Don't hear it. It is not her body. I don't care what she says. It's like saying that 2 + 2 = 5 is as foolish as that statement, it's my body, it's my choice. But, fools, that's the way it is. Proverb, truth is folly in the mouth of fools. Let's go on to the next one. There's a second like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. We're back to where we started, giving honor to the fool. It's like one who binds a stone in a sling. Now, my guess is we probably don't use a lot of slings with stones today, do we? We don't do that. But I think we all understand the concept. And the last thing you want to do is bind your stones in a sling. You're using that sling to sling a stone. That stone has to be able to move freely. It's kind of like taking a gun and trying to cap it. Right? How good is that gun going to work if you force a cap on it? It's going to create a lot of problems and may end up coming back and killing you as a result. And so when we elevate foolish children or spouses or bosses or politicians, you simply name it as, when we elevate them, it's like we are in league of binding a stone in a sling. And so don't be surprised if your life becomes a mess if you honor the fools that are around you. And that's one of the things that has made Dr. Laura so famous, is that she's got people that are calling in. Usually the people that call in are women about my age that would call in because they're honoring their foolish children and their foolish grandchildren. And she's been doing everything she can to placate, to solve, to make peace, do all these type of things. And because she's gone down to their level, participating in their foolishness, her life is now a mess. Or his life is now a mess. And that's exactly what Solomon is trying to say. Don't do this. Don't give honor to the fool. It's as foolish as binding a stone in a sling. There's one more like that's in this as you go to the next verse. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. A drunkard with a thorn in his hand. Many of them don't feel it till they get up the next morning. It's like, oh my, what did I do to my hand? Have no idea. It's like that song, Jose Cuervo. How did I get his shirt on? Who's this stranger in bed next to me? When the drunkard is so drunk that they simply are just acting on carnal impulse, that's the way it is with a fool. A proverb in their mouth is like a drunkard who goes into the, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard. The drunkard comes out of the bar, they see their car, they think they're perfectly fine to drive home, although there's 8 doors and they can't figure out which one to enter to get into the driver's seat. Surprise, surprise, they get a DUI, or they've caused an accident, or they've killed somebody. Because that's the way it is with drunkards. You ever watch the show Jail? I don't watch a lot of those shows. Every now and then, though, I'll watch a Jail or Police Patrol or something like that, not the kids' cartoon. But one of those type of shows that are active, where they show people that have been brought into jail and how they act, and about half of them are drunk. And to hear some of the things come spewing out of their mouth is like, wow. That's why I don't watch a lot of it, because sometimes like, okay, that's enough. That's enough of that. But that's the idea of a drunkard. Like, they just don't know what they say. And that's the way it is with a fool when they happen to get a wise statement around them. That's what they do. They invite destruction. And individuals that get caught up with honoring them, they pay a price sometimes. They get in the way of the drunkard. Pay the price. You don't want to be around the drunkard when they're drunk. Right? It causes a lot of problems too. A lot of spouses have to deal with drunk spouses. And they sit there and they end up being caught up in their foolishness. So we had the three lights that are there. Going on to verse 10. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Well, what do they deserve? They deserve their hire and their wages. They've earned the wages that they receive. And you go back to the beginning of the Proverb letter. What was the very first comment that he began in stating his concept of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then immediately he goes to the sinners, the fools, in verse 10. If they entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Well, if you look down there in verse 18, here's the result. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who's greedy for gain. It takes away the life of his owner. And that's kind of what he's saying there, that God, who has formed everything, he knows exactly what the fool's thinking, and they're going to get their wages, maybe immediately. How foolish it is to try to break in someone in the home of Alabama. There's far too many shotguns and AK-47s that are on the other side of the door. They may end up dying from it. But if they don't immediately die from it, they're going to pay the price from the Creator in the great by and by. They really will. And so don't follow, don't applaud, don't cave, don't cover for those who are foolish. That's not what God wants. The wages of sin is death, and we might end up dying with them. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Seen that one before? Oh, we have, haven't we? As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. A fool repeats his folly. Now, where do we remember this from? The Apostle Peter took this passage and talked about Christians that return to the world, that they've escaped the filthy, sinful pollutions of this world that's dragging down their soul to the pit of hell, and someone convinces them, some fool convinces them to start honoring them and going back to worldly, carnal ways, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit or a sow returning to the mire. How foolish that is. The fool repeats his folly. Sadly, there's been far too many members of churches of Christ that have followed in those footsteps. Yeah, just silly it is. And I've known many of them. And you may have as well. The last one. So we got through all of them. I didn't know if I would. I knew there was a lot of them, so I've been trying to be real brief. And so it kind of just kicked open a study. But just when you put them together in this kind of overview, man, it really paints a picture for us, doesn't it? Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, we've been talking about the fool, and tell me what the hope of a fool is. Zoogie, nothing. No hope. Trouble, pain, problem, hellfire. Now, think about this. When we trust in ourselves, when we're full of self-absorption, when we're narcissistic, when it's all about me, myself, and I, when we reject what Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, when we turn around and say, no, it's about me, it's not about others, it's not about God, it's about me, and there's so many living that way, there's more hope for a fool, which we have clearly exposed, there isn't any, than for that person. And so do you see yourselves wise in your own eyes? Please reconsider. Please. We need to be humble men and women. If we're not, hope is not going to be there for us. We're not going to be able to reach out and be a hopeful fool. Don't be a fool. Be a hopeful individual that trusts the Lord, that leans on the fear of the Lord, that leans on His proverbs takes them deep into our heart. If there's someone in the audience would like to recognize that, man, I've been foolish in far too many ways. I need to make amends. I need to make a change. Let me encourage you to do that very thing this morning. Take advantage of that, and you can do that right now while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.